This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
The Pentagon defending what they're calling preparation for a possible Russian invasion of the Ukraine. Meanwhile, the president is planning some rapid Supreme Court pushes to replace Justice Breyer, who officially announced that it is true, I am exiting. He is off the bench as of June in the last session. And in between, we have a little of this and a little of that, including, oh yeah, football, because it is the weekend where there are four teams left in the NFL. Eventually that becomes two on Sunday night, and then we know the Super Bowl will be set. And if you don't think the Super Bowl is such a big dang deal, in the United States, it is like a holiday. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, and this is the road that we're taking this time around. Thanks for joining us. Remember, 24/7, just a quick reminder at the top because I get so many emails. You, too, can share your thoughts at Kate@KateDelaneyRadio.com. I'll tell you why I bring that up right at the top. So many of you had plenty to say about a new poll that came out that says that the president is slightly ahead of Donald Trump and Ron DeSantis when it comes to this next presidential election. People make millions of dollars on these polls and trying to decide how we're all going to vote. And there is something to the early polls, but it's not much of a matchup now because it's a hypothetical race at this point. But Biden polls at this point, according to this survey by the Marquette Law School, 43% of adults nationwide would support Biden if the 2024 election were held today. 33% would vote for Donald Trump in a one-on-one matchup. And 16% said they would choose a different candidate. 6% said they would not vote. And again, this is hypothetical. So it's interesting because this polling comes as there's lots of tension between Donald Trump's camp and Ron DeSantis, amid a possibility that the two Republicans could face off against one another in a primary to lead the ticket in 2024, right? And DeSantis has certainly risen a little bit more in the party. And when you look at it, the former president has hinted pretty heavily that he would run again in 2024, but has not made it official. In fact, a Harvard Caps Harris poll survey with The Hill earlier this week found that in the hypothetical 8-person Republican primary, Trump raked in 57% support. DeSantis had a mere 11%. I talked about that one night on the show. But so much for reading the tea leaves. This is actually happening. It's a fact, Jack. Breyer is done, and so now it's all about Supreme Court nominees. And will it be the search for Supreme Court nominees that won't get blocked? And then the Republicans have to decide how much of a fight are they going to put up. And I think it depends on the individual, right? I hope it depends on the individual anyway. So Justice Stephen Breyer at the White House with President Biden renewed his pledge to put a black woman on the court. The president said it's long overdue. I'll nominate a historic candidate, someone who is worthy of Justice Breyer's legacy. And there has been a list that's been there for a while that's been compiled. But, you know, who, again, makes the grade, makes the cut when you go through the various candidates that could replace Breyer. I mean, we've been through this now during the Trump administration and many administrations in how big that a person becomes on our highest court in the land and how significant it is in those that are nominated and then going through the, going through the process. So one of the potential picks is Leandra Kruger, who is on the California Supreme Court and worked as a senior lawyer in the U.S. Solicitor General's office during the Obama administration. Another is J. Michelle Childs, a federal district court judge in South Carolina, who is definitely being pushed by the House Whip, Majority Whip, James Clyburn from South Carolina. So there are others that are also on that list, too. So Breyer at 83, the court's oldest member, has definitely faced pressure. In fact, I think the liberal activists wanted to shove him out, absolutely, urging him to step down so that Biden could nominate a replacement while the Democrats have a slim advantage in the Senate. Remember, Donald Trump installed three justices on the court during a four-year term. And that, of course, cemented that the conservative flow, the majority, with the capacity to upend some longstanding laws, and, of course, on abortion and guns and so many other matters as well. So we'll see how this process goes, because he's not out yet. He will be out, but who's going to be up next to sit on the highest court in the land? You know, there's a lot of conversation that this shouldn't be a lifetime appointment, because that's what it is, a lifetime appointment. And it does make you wonder when you think of some of the rulings and you think of some of the judges of the past, should it be a lifetime appointment? Or should there be limits on that? But I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon. I know there's been discussion, but I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon. This also is probably in not your rear view mirror, but going to be in front of you within 12 or 24 hours of listening to my voice, a nor'easter, a bomb cycle, as they like to call it, delivering some massive snow and wind to the East Coast. So blizzard conditions, a lot of power outages are being predicted in eastern New England. The good thing is you have time to prepare for this. You know, it's less than really a day before this major winter storm hits those areas, the coastal mid-Atlantic area, and it's kind of fluctuating snowfall forecasts. But here's the deal. It's going to be visibility poor. So any ideas of taking some long ride somewhere, you might want to cap that off. So you look at Hartford, Connecticut, New York, Salisbury, Maryland, Virginia Beach. They could get some hefty snow, hefty. And certainly in Maine, Massachusetts, Boston to Cape Cod, they're talking about 2 feet with definite blizzard conditions that they can't rule out. So you're looking at probably 45 million of you, maybe some of you listening to the show right now, they're going to get smacked by this. You know, you got the coastal North Carolina area too, Virginia Tidewater, and going all the way up, like I said, to Maine. So there are certainly watches that are out there, and it's the wind. It's also in the coastal areas, the tides, which mean possible flooding, strong damaging winds, certainly hurt in those open areas, 60 to 70 miles an hour. So travel probably a little impossible. There may be a lot of flight cancellations in some of those bigger areas, just to be prepared, right? Have a plan or plan to fail. We're hitting the mailbag next.
Hi, I'm Al Averoa, founder of Knight Strategic Wealth. Inflation is picking up, markets are volatile, and the dream of a comfortable retirement is harder to attain than ever before. Nobody wants to run out of money in retirement. That's why I'm going to share something that your financial advisor doesn't want you to know. With our investment strategy, when the stock market goes up, you earn a market-linked return that locks in every year. And when the stock market goes down, your investments won't lose a dime. There are no unnecessary fees, and it works for your investments, money at a brokerage firm, or even money at a bank. bank. It's simple, it's safe, and that's why savvy investors work with us. Want to learn more? Text FREE to 833-898-0500, and we'll send our retirement readiness kit directly to your phone right now. If you want to help build a retirement portfolio that will go up with the market and never lose money, get our retirement readiness kit today and see how this strategy can help secure your future. Text FREE to 833-898-0500. Text FREE to 833-898-0500.
No matter if supply lines are down, product deliveries are slow, and that most everything costs more these days, you still have neck and shoulder pain, right? Good news. Sunnybay has new products that target neck and shoulder pain. Products that are in stock now, ready to ship anywhere now. Like our extra long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs. You can heat them in a microwave oven, and they come in a variety of colors and patterns. And for stress relief, get our lavender scented hands-free neck wraps. Or maybe you need one of our smaller lower back wraps. Great for seniors. Again, there's no shipping delays from Sunny Bay. Find our new products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay neck wraps. All our products are great for men or women, are reusable, and easy to clean. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay neck wraps. Order now because stock is high and shipping is fast from Sunny Bay.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits of some of the biggest names on the planet. Stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep. Go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.
You have mail, mistress.
What? Digging the mailbag.
The mailbag with all this virtual email once again. Let's just dive right on it. I love this one. I got this one from Randy who said, "Hey, Kate Delaney, I heard you the other night talking about the fact that old man, take a look at yourself, Neil Young tried to go up against Joe Rogan, and Spotify said, no way, goodbye to Neil Young. We hope to welcome his music back," or something like that that you said. I would say that, listen, Spotify did the right thing because regardless of vax, not vax, misinformation or whatever, it's not even about that. Spotify paid him $100 million. He gets a huge audience. They make money off of him, and he's just a podcast on Spotify. Neil Young has his music on Spotify, and Spotify was never going to drop Joe Rogan. How could they do it? Why would they do it? And they're not going to smother him as far as content is concerned, and that's part of what the problem here is. Young versus Spotify becomes this crazy culture war deal, and it is a victory, I suppose, for Joe Rogan, but it's not really. I don't think Rogan would even think that, because it is more about Neil Young trying to make it that, trying to make it political in a sense, where it's just stupidity on his part. And, you know, Spotify starts out with music, but now they have podcasting, and they have hundreds and hundreds of millions of people that are downloading their stuff for the podcast. So why would they invest all that money and then mess with Joe Rogan? Of course you wouldn't have done that, right? Yeah, of course not. I agree. I mean, of course they were not going to do that. $100 million? There's no way. He wasn't going to move anything on that. He didn't have the ability to remove his albums. He had to get permission from his label to do it. So maybe, you know, would other major labels do the same thing for their stars? But, you know, that's it. So he ends up in all those other streaming sites, but I don't think that it impacted Rogan at all, period. I mean, his podcast is number one on their charts. You can't force people to listen, but they want to listen. And that's why they paid him $100 million, because they knew that the money would be equal to what they would recoup based on what they saw with his popularity. And so far, that bet is probably fine. And so what it actually does is it just highlights Rogan to other people, if anything, more people that maybe didn't find him or haven't paid attention. They're paying more attention. So, yep, I'm with you. I completely agree with that. All right, let's move on to another one. This one is from Sam listening to us. How about that? In Davenport, Iowa, KROS 1340. Kate, I listen to you here in Davenport. I've enjoyed your offerings. I almost want to ask you something about sports, but I want to say that I hope to God we don't get involved in this Russian invasion of the Ukraine. Yes, we have to be there. Yes, we have to stick up for the innocents. There's no question about it. But for God's sake, we don't need any kind of another war. Don't you agree? Oh, definitely. Hello, Afghanistan, Iraq. We saw, and there was too much blood, sweat, and tears invested there. So, yes, to show support, yes, to do some of what's happening. But what's interesting is when you look at the allies to the U.S., do you know who's not doing anything? Not doing anything. Not sending equipment. They're not getting involved. Germany. Germany's not doing anything about that. The thing, I guess, the one thing they said is they would supply 5,000 helmets. You know, that's it. And so now you have the German ambassador to the U.S. saying, oh, yes, there's a commitment to the Ukrainian sovereignty. Absolutely, because the question is, well, you're not really doing very much, because Ukraine's foreign minister just absolutely took a swing at Germany, saying that their stance on arms supplies doesn't correspond to the level of relations in the current security situation. So they're not doing that. They have a vested interest not to do it, right? And the newly elected General Chancellor, Olaf Scholz, said that Germany's going to help with economic sanctions, but it's not going to provide, he said, lethal weapons, raising more questions about Germany's commitment to opposing Russian aggression. So, of course, they are. But here's the thing. Germany is dependent on this thing called the Nord Stream pipeline, and that is probably hindering any kind of negotiations, because they need it. This was a deal. This was an economic deal. And if that gets screwed up, that screws up Germany. So there is self-preservation there. Mm. So I kind of veered off a little bit on your question about war. But, there's no way we want to get led down a path of war. But there's very little optimism as far as resolving this Ukrainian crisis. And we have troops on the ready, and we've sent military equipment. We are in the thick of that. You know, will Putin accept anything? What kind of bargain will he accept, right? He doesn't want NATO's influence. So this chess match is getting a little heated, for sure. I mean, the ball is in Russia's court, and the West is ready to come together. And if there's a Russian invasion similar to the 2014 annexation of Crimea, then what? I'd say it's just right on par with that. What is the decisive action if Russia further invades the Ukraine, because if they're going in there with tanks, if there's a military buildup and it's a military attack, not some exercise like they're saying, then what? It leads to a war. There becomes some kind of a skirmish. Yeah, nasty piece of business, and it definitely could end poorly. There's no doubt about that when you look at it. All right, so let's go to another one. This one is from Hal. I think Hal has sent us a few emails. And Hal says, hey, Kate, I am looking at a couple of different things that I wanted to bring up. And I guess this is what I'll bring up. There is more of a push for Donald Trump in some areas to do live rallies, and he is doing a rally on Saturday. I'm sure you're aware of that. And this is in Conroe, Texas, which is in the Houston area. So do you think that rally will draw people, and will it draw people at least into tuning in on a streaming platform? You know, I'm glad you asked that question. That's a good one. What do I think? Well, you have the Texas Governor, Greg Abbott. You have the Lieutenant Governor, Dan Patrick. You have the State Attorney General, Ken Paxton. I mean, they're going to be there on the stage. This is perfectly made for Donald Trump. There's no way around that. I mean, it is. It's a great place for him to speak. So he'll speak around 8 o'clock Eastern. It's going to be streamed, I believe. Yeah, it's going to be streamed on Newsmax, and a lot of people will tune in there. And this could be, you know, the beginning of the big push to really go after 2024. I can't imagine he's not going to do that, unless there's some health-related thing that we don't know, something that comes up all of a sudden, or something else that would take the wind out of his sails for not doing that. It didn't make any sense, but I think so. You know, I absolutely. And that's why the polls are so interesting to see. Well, where does he fall in the middle of, you know, where does he fall in the middle of all this? Okay, in an effort to squeeze in one more, let's get this one. This one is from Charlie, and Charlie says, Kate, don't mess around, pussyfoot around it. Who do you think wins these games over the weekend? The underdogs or the favorites? Well, the Bengals and the Chiefs. Oh, it'd be wild to see Joe Burrow and the Bengals win it, but I think it's the Chiefs for the third time. The Chiefs are going to the Super Bowl, but will they win this one? Winning, of course, their first one, losing their second trip against the Patriots, and will they win the next one? I do think they beat the Bengals. They're a 7-point favorite. 49ers and the Rams, I'm going with the Rams. They're only a 3.5-point favorite, but I think this is Matt Stafford's time, and I think he will prevail, and Sean McVay is ready for this to get back again. And with Kupp as his incredible sure-handed wide receiver, could be a close game, but I think it's the Rams. Rewind on the flip side.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You USA Radio News with Wendy King.
After announcing his retirement, President Biden thanked Supreme Court Justice Stephen Breyer for his decades of public service.
The person I will nominate will be someone with extraordinary qualifications, character, experience, and integrity. And that person will be the first black woman ever nominated to the United States Supreme Court.
Experts say the front runner on the list of potential candidates is Federal Appeals Court Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson, who clerked for Justice Breyer.
Without a doubt, being a law clerk for Justice Breyer was one of the most rewarding professional experiences of my life.
Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer says he wants to move quickly to confirm a nominee. They're expected to use the same timeline they used for Amy Coney Barrett's nomination. This is USA Radio News. According to the Labor Department, unemployment claims fell the week ending January 22nd, marking the first drop in a month. Initial jobless claims were 260,000 for that week, which was a decrease of 30,000 from the previous week. A total of 1.7 million people were collecting unemployment compensation the week ending January 15th. As initial jobless claims declined, the Commerce Department reported the total output of all goods and services increased by 5.7% for all of 2021. That's the largest growth for any year since 1984. On Wednesday, the Federal Reserve left its benchmark interest rate near zero, but warned an interest rate increase is coming soon to combat inflation. Economists say jobless claims will continue to be lower as the economic disruptions from the Omicron variant fade. You're listening to USA Radio News.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for kids, teens, or young adults. It's just not.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals and volatile organic compounds into your body.
And nicotine, the same highly addictive substance found in regular cigarettes.
Nicotine can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
Affecting learning, memory, attention, and impulse control. And priming the brain for other addictions.
Vaping products also come in kid-friendly flavors that can make them appealing to youth.
And many kids also use other drugs, like marijuana, in vaping devices.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media,
many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping, because when you talk, they hear you.
Yeah, time for the rewind. Things that were said that make you think, ooh, they are absolutely right when looking at the future. Things that were predicted weeks ago, months ago, or even just a couple days ago. Here's a good one from Bob Iger. You know who he is? He's the former Disney CEO. He did an interview a few days ago where he talked about the fate of movie theaters competing with Netflix and other streaming services. And he said, because he's not working for Disney, he's liberated, he can say anything he wants about anybody. He was very frank about the fate of movie theaters. He believes they'll be permanently altered by the pandemic and the rise of streaming services. He said, I don't think it's the death of theatrical movies. I think that it's a severe injury that maybe doesn't heal, not fatal to some, saying that consumers will be much more discerning about what movies they want to see out of the home. I agree with him. I mean, look, you got Disney Plus. He was the Disney dude. You got Disney Plus where you get to see some great content. You know, people order it and then they dump it after they are done with watching whatever it is they're watching. But they really ramped up when they got Hamilton during the pandemic and just huge numbers. And then a lot of other releases, too, on Disney, all the Star Wars stuff like Boba Fett, which is going on right now. That's very, very, very big. And he's right. I think he's absolutely right. I listened to an interview with Ben Affleck, the actor, and his good friend Matt Damon. Matt Damon was actually interviewing Ben Affleck, and this was, I saw this maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago. And Ben Affleck is in a movie called The Tender Bar, which is right now on a streaming service, but it's very good. I saw the movie. I like the movie. And he talked about what he said from the acting point of view, from the actor's point of view, that maybe there would be 30 or maybe max 40 movies that would be out at the theaters, and a lot of them would be the big box office draws, the Marvel, DC Comics, that kind of stuff. And so many other movies would really be all about streaming. And I agree. Here's the key. What would make you leave your house to go and see a movie? And I think if, like, you're a Dune freak, we saw Dune on the big screen, and I think Dune on the big screen is better than Dune on a small screen, and that's one of the things they push in some of their public service announcements for the movie industry when you're at a movie, because they shrink the screen and say, can you imagine watching a movie on this screen? So, to me, pretty interesting. All right, I saw a great piece on the 36 hours of misery, they called it, because I've referred to this a lot on the show with this nor'easter bomb cycle getting ready to hit the East Coast. And in this article in the Washington Post, I thought it was so dead on. They talked about miscommunication in a rewind, miscommunication and holes in Virginia's response to the confusion. Why were so many people stranded overnight? We live in America. Why are they stranded on I-95? There were so many 911 calls from distraught drivers, from small cars and large trucks that were sliding in heavy snow, all of that. Parents worried about the safety of their young kids because they're in the car with them. It was just an incredible emergency that cascaded out of control in the beginning of last month. It was January 3rd when that happened. And it took 20 hours to keep the lanes open, and just failed responses to try to get the lanes open. So the long delays were awful. A U.S. senator was stranded. Hundreds of drivers and passengers stranded overnight in freezing vehicles. Again, this is the United States of America, right? 3 weeks after a foot of crippling snow crippled the Eastern Seaboard, a private company in this rewind has been hired to review how the Virginia Department of Transportation, State Police, and Department of Emergency Management responded, trying to figure out specifics of what went wrong along this 48-mile stretch of 95. And the review will contain unsparing accounts, is what they say. Just interview the people that were stuck. Yeah, I was with my baby. We were just trying to get from point A to point B, and we were stuck overnight. And once again, what does this bring up the need for? A go bag. And what does this bring up the need for? Okay, I'm not lecturing you. I'm just saying from my point of view. In your trunk, boy, have some extra supplies, water, snacks, whatever. And warm stuff, especially if you live in areas where it can get cold like this, and you can have, you weren't thinking that was going to happen on I-95, let's face it, but what if you had thrown that stuff just in a box, you had that stuff tucked away in the trunk, at least you would be able to have grabbed that, right? And the 911 calls were sad, they were scary, you know, where people were calling in a semi-stall, people are walking on the highway, there's so much traffic, we're just stuck here, the conditions are, I can't get out of the snow, my car is stuck, and my kids are going crazy, I don't know what to do, and you know, it's awful. So, let's see what this report says. Who are they gonna blame? Who are they gonna blame? Alright, speaking of blame, we talk about the blame of the supply shortage on what is happening with the supply chain, right? So the supply shortage, the supply chain demand, and not being able to fill that demand, and it has affected so many different businesses. You know, we have these authors on the show, and a lot of authors have been affected by it because they can't get the books that they need. And I was thinking about this because people were talking about these popular cookbooks. One of them was Dinner in One by a popular cookbook author, Melissa Clark. An anticipated culinary title. It was loaded on shipping containers that sank into the Atlantic during a storm that hit the ship carrying the goods from Europe to the East Coast. Ugh. Oh, the luck. How terrible is that? And it was carrying a lot of different things from China along a route from Europe across the Atlantic, and it hit a storm on January 6th. They were idling near the Azores Island chain, which is, of course, west of Portugal, and a number of containers were damaged, and 65 were lost overboard. 65. Eventually, the ship docked for repairs in Charleston, South Carolina, but all that stuff was lost in those containers. At the bottom of the sea. Good luck with that. That is bizarre. And you know what? It's not unheard of. It can happen. You know, there have been containers that have been lost overboard, and sometimes the cargo is stacked higher and unpredictable weather and demands and blah, 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 blah. But this just goes once again to the unending insaneness of the supply chain issues, things that people never thought about. Mm-hmm. This was an interesting story that I read that I like. I like this story because he's being proactive. He's doing something about it. So this is a good rewind. It's sad to rewind back to the event, and it's unbelievable to me that it's been this long. But 7 years ago, a gunman killed a woman during a TV news broadcast, and she was just doing her job for a TV station, and Allison Parker and cameraman Adam Ward shot and killed by an angry former studio employee in August of 2015. It was a crazy tragedy. So Allison Parker's father was just so distraught, almost inconsolable, and he vowed he would make it his life's work to do whatever it takes to end the violence, to end the things that happened. And he's running for office. He's seeking the nomination in Virginia's 5th congressional district, and we'll see if he gets it or not. He's been on other social media platforms to remove videos of his daughter's violent death, because, of course, you can look it up and you can see it on YouTube and other social media platforms. So he decided to turn it into something more positive, although it's not going to be an easy road for him because he's running as a Dem in a pretty conservative district and against a popular candidate, Bob Good, a Republican from Virginia. But maybe he gets heard and people pay attention to some of what he's saying that makes sense and that is palatable and that would work. And that's, I think, a good thing, right? And it's not his first run for public office. He served as a county board supervisor in the mid-2000s before running there unsuccessfully for the House of Delegates in 2007. But, you know, to be able to do that and these years later to think, okay, what can I do? How can I get involved? There you go. Put your money where your mouth is. Decided full on, I'm just going to go for it and we'll see what happens. Yeah. And then this one, rewind to this, discussions we've had on the show about NFTs. We've got one coming up in the next hour. In the tail end of the next hour, but an NFT restaurant is opening in New York. It's going to serve up, they say, status with seafood and whatever else. So the Flying Fish Club will be opened in a Manhattan location the first half of next year. It's a luxury seafood-inspired dining club from a VCR group, a hospitality and restaurant group that includes Gary Vaynerchuk, the serial entrepreneur and co-founder of online reservation system Resy. And to gain access to the club, you have to have a Flying Fish NFT, which is a digital asset stored on the blockchain and purchased using cryptocurrency. So how about that? They released 1,500 tokens this month. They brought in 15 million. This is happening, people. It's happening. Hang with us.
My name is Milan Vukovic. 10 years ago, I got frustrated with the quality of Pau D'Arco tea sold in the stores. So, I founded the Pau D'Arco Tea Club that now ships our super tea to over 100 countries. You too can order or get info about the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea at www.drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. Why settle for less when you can order original pure Pau D'Arco and drink super tea for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping? Each pound makes 300 cups, which is the equivalent of 12 cents per cup for the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea. Order now at www.drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
I can't tell you how excited I am to have Christine Hassing on with us. She's written a book called Hope Has a Cold Nose. And wait till you hear the story behind this book and the book itself. Christine, thanks so much for coming on.
Okay, it's my honor. Thank you.
Tell me what led you to write this book. Why did you write the book in the first place?
So I was in class with a veteran and a service dog. And we were given an assignment to create something we hadn't done before. And writing life stories was not new to me. I had been volunteering at a local hospice writing life stories for a couple of years. And just prior to meeting the veteran, I had actually been writing letters for a dear friend who was dying of cancer. And we were writing letters for her to leave to her two sons. And so anyway, I asked the veteran if I could write his life story. And what made that new for me is I had not written a life story for somebody who was not knowingly dying. And this veteran very graciously said yes. And so I wrote his story. And in his telling the story, he shared with me a statistic I did not know at the time, that 22 veterans commit suicide a day. And it just absolutely broke my heart to think that there was 22 souls that reached a point where they lost their sense of hope. And so I felt called, inspired, whatever might be the word, to write a book and write life stories of hope and healing and dignity found with the unconditional acceptance and love of a service dog.
So in the book, you really dive into this, talking about matching humans with the right dog, the right service dog, and you tell these stories. Tell us more about the book.
Yeah, so there's 23 life stories. They all have, you know, the common theme of PTSD, but I like to reframe it as pain, trauma, sorrow, or despair, because then I think that takes away any chance of a stereotype when we hear the acronym PTSD. And pain, trauma, sorrow, despair is something we all know at least one aspect of at least once in our lives. And the other theme is the unconditional listening and the unconditional acceptance, because a dog has no judgment. They can't speak back. They can listen and love. And each of the stories, they have that common theme, but each of them are different. One, because they're each individual life story. But my approach with each person was simply to listen. And so some people wanted to talk about their deployment. Others wanted to talk about how their life had changed once they got their service dog. And others wanted to share things from their childhood as well. So each story is unique with a common theme.
Tell us one of the stories. I mean, it's probably hard to pick out your favorite, but tell us one of the stories.
Yeah, I was going to say, how much time do we have for all 23? I will share. There's one story that comes to mind immediately. It was a gentleman who had been a veteran during the Vietnam War. And when he was serving in Vietnam, he had a canine dog that also served with him, who was the dog to sniff out harm. And he returned to the United States and unfortunately was not able to bring that dog back with him. And that broke his heart and left him very sad, feeling very guilty, along with the traumas of his experiences during that time. So he lived with anxiety, nightmares, you know, a lot of the things that we hear when we hear PTSD. And about 30 years later, he got involved in his community with building a replica of the Vietnam Wall that they could travel to different events, different engagements, and share that wall. So he was on a tour with this wall, and he happened to cross paths with Northwest Battle Buddies in Oregon, or Washington, I should say, Washington State. And he happened to know one of the people that works in that organization, who came up and showed him a picture of a puppy and was asking his advice on how to train this dog, because this person knew this veteran sharing the story had experiences with training dogs from his time in service. So this gentleman shared, and a few months later their paths crossed again, and again he was shown a picture of this dog and the progress, hearing how he was doing. And fast forward about another year, so I'd say about 2 years, because that's usually what it takes to train a dog, he went to a fundraising event with Northwest Battle Buddies, and he was a speaker, which was really hard for him because he, again, with his anxiousness, wasn't comfortable, but still did that. And at the end of his speech, the founder of Northwest Battle Buddies came up to him and pointed to the back of the room. And the dog that he had been seeing pictures of was given to him that night to be his service dog. And he started training and found a lot of healing from the dog that he couldn't bring to the United States with him, found a lot of healing on his journey with PTSD, and found a deeper bond with his children because they gained an understanding of the story he had been able to talk about until he shared it for the book.
Wow, what a beautiful story. And there's so many other stories, too, that just they'll just make you smile and get you teary-eyed and everything else. How did you find these stories?
It was, I would say, word of mouth reaching out. You know, so the first veteran connected me with three additional individuals. I would reach out to organizations, and there would be one person who would want to graciously share their story. They would maybe know somebody or not, and it just became kind of through a two-year journey. One of the things, I had a goal. I wanted at least 22 stories because of the symbolism of 22 lives a day. And just before our world pandemic hit, I gained the last five stories of my goal to complete the book. And I always felt like that was a sign that the book needed to be out there not only for the 22 lives a day, but for what everybody was suddenly starting to understand about isolation, anxiousness, and some of those things that I think a lot of the people in the world are starting to experience over the last couple of years.
Yeah, wow. Good for you. What do you hope people take away from reading Hope Has a Cold Nose, which you can get on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever great books are sold?
Yeah, so a couple of things. One, I would like to inspire an awareness of a journey with PTSD, foster a compassion for that journey. But also, raise awareness about the holistic healing effect of dogs, service dogs, therapy dogs, emotional support dogs. But in all of those ways, there's a lot of healing power in that. And also to foster a common, more of a, take away the judgment, I guess that's what I'm trying to say, Kate, is take away the judgment that we sometimes have when we hear certain acronyms, or we don't know what to say because we don't know how to handle somebody's pain from their trauma or those things. And foster unconditional listening. I think that was one of the things that so many of the veterans said, as they said, my dog just listens. I can tell them anything. And they said, even if I have someone close to me who really tries to listen and understand, for the veteran, they're still judging themselves. And so they're still expecting the person they're talking to judge them. Where a dog just looks at them with those loving eyes and holds absolutely no judgment. So I would also like to foster us unconditionally listening. We don't have to accept the story, but I think if we listen, we start the healing process for people too.
Oh, so well said. Again, the name of the book is Hope Has a Cold Nose. Christine Hassing, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Okay, thank you. Definitely my privilege.
And thanks to all of you for listening to this hour of the show. Make it count, everybody.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
Do you feel like you're doing what you were made for? Do you love what you do? Do you feel inspired or at least pretty happy most days? In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big and Become Extraordinary, I share the secrets that rock stars share with me from the business world, people like Sir Richard Branson, or sports hall of famers like former Cowboy great Emmitt Smith. All of them had one thing in common. They paid attention to their gut, followed their dreams, and didn't listen to the critics. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon today.